Good morning, I'm Pastor Gillespie from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center, Random Lake, Wisconsin. It's good to have you with us here today for the Congregation of Prayer, Guide for Daily Meditation and Prayer Around God's Word. It's Wednesday, November 2nd, 2022. Today for our catechesis, we'll continue in Genesis, still dealing with Abram and the promise, and of course, faith and righteousness and lack thereof, as the case may be. Today also, this afternoon, well, rather this evening, we have Divine Service at 7 p.m. Please come on out. I know it's dark, but so what? Actually, I know it's hard for some to drive at night, but yeah, if you can make it, because we're going to celebrate All Saints Day this evening, and so it's a great opportunity to hear preaching His Word and to join with saints and angels around the throne of heaven, as we just heard the hymn sing of. Wide open stand the gates at the sacrament. Let's see, anything else? I think that's it. All right, so let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Memory verse, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. All right, our psalm is Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in You I take refuge. I say to the Lord, You are my Lord. I have no good apart from You. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion, and my cup You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For You will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let Your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In Your presence there is fullness of joy. At Your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. All right, our catechism this week is the second article. What does this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with His holy precious blood, and with His innocent suffering and death, that I may be His own, and live under Him in His kingdom, and serve Him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as He is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. All right. So as I mentioned yesterday when we talked about the promise, I read a little bit of Galatians chapter 2, chapter 3. I mentioned that when it came to Hagar and Ishmael and the whole story of Abram and the promise, it really serves as the fundamental undertext of the book of Galatians and the confession therein. And I think, remember what Sunday of the church year it is, we usually hear both of Hagar and Ishmael, but also then Galatians 3 and 4. Together on a Sunday of the church year. I just can't remember which Sunday it is. All right. So, Galatians 3. Again, New Testament interprets Old Testament. What purpose, then, does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given that could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. All right. Interesting that we didn't actually get to the part about the slave woman and the free woman. That comes later on in Galatians 4, doesn't it? Or is it Galatians 5? Yeah, it's Galatians 4. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abram had two sons, one by the bondwoman and another by the free woman. That's Hagar and Sarai. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, but he of the free woman through the promise, which things are symbolic. Right? Now, you might hear that as saying that somehow God had rejected Ishmael and Hagar, his mother, and like forbidden him from faith or something like that. That is not at all what Paul's argument is, as we can see here in chapter 3 and 4. The argument is that Hagar and Sarah, are types or shadows of the gospel and the law, right? So do you want to be under the law? Then it is to be like Hagar, to be abused and to be cast out, son to be rejected, right? Rather, be a son of the gospel, that is, faith in the promise, like Sarah, eventually, whose son is made the offspring of many nations, right? In whom we have Christ. So really, the son of Abram, the son of Sarah, yes, it will be Isaac, but it is, in particular, it's Jesus Christ, which he puts right there in verse 26. You can see it right on the screen. And that the purpose of the law, if you like to be under the bondage of the slave woman, Hagar, is until the Christ has come. And then the slave woman even would be free along with her son Ishmael. Yeah. Free in Christ. Right. So we sometimes get these things confused, law and gospel, and then their types and shadows in Sarai and Hagar. There's much more that could be said about it. Actually, the work to read, the definitive to work to read on this is this book, Martin Luther's Commentary on St. Paul's Epistle to the Galatians, 1535. This is called his Greater Galatians Commentary. This is the edition printed by, I don't know if you can see that. No, it's 1517. This was translated by Geraldo Camacho, and we've done many a podcast using this copy. It's far superior to the old any of the old versions. Reads very, very well. And so maybe, for example, I'll just give you a little bit here. Let's see. Let's say 4 verse 1. All right, I'll just go to that. This is Luther speaking on October 10th in 1534, I believe. All right. Just share a little bit with you. Look how feverishly Paul sweats as he calls on the Galatians to turn back. Consider the strong arguments he takes up in debating the subject. By way of example, he takes hold of Abraham's experience, the testimony of scriptures, and similar matters. It seems he is starting the whole argument all over again, Previously, it seemed that he had completed his argument regarding justification, concluding that people are justified before God by faith alone. Coram Deo, right? Justificare coram Deo. But now, since he offers this example from civil law regarding the small heir, it's because he wishes to confirm the subject. He is rather astute, for he seems to catch the Galatians by surprise with a certain holy cleverness, since the ignorant are persuaded more easily with examples and similar things than with profound and well-thought-out arguments. So using Hagar and Ishmael is basically, he says it's more clever because it's easier to persuade someone from an argument of experience than it is through an argument that's well thought out. They prefer to gaze at the image of a well-painted picture than to read a well-written book. Thus, Paul, after presenting the argument of a man's will as well as of a tutor, now takes up the example of the heir, which is known and familiar to every man. He wishes to move and to persuade them. There's a great deal of truth and value in being well-equipped with such examples and metaphors, which not only Paul, but also the prophets and Christ himself frequently employed. And then the editor notes, the Latin text here indicates some sort of pause, for it has this phrase, from here to the end of the epistle, he is constantly appealing. It's as if Luther was responding to a student's question. All right. So, you know, from Luther's perspective, going to the picture of an heir is... it's evocative for those who aren't maybe as well convinced from a well-reasoned argument. There you go. Of course, Luther is also, you know, he's in a university setting, but he knows that the people of Germany are not nearly as well-educated or literate for that matter. Mm. This is a delightful coffee. This is a new coffee for subscribers only at the moment from, where did I get this from? Oh, this is Sumatra. Usually I don't like Sumatra, but that's really good. All right. Let's see. All right. So now we can actually talk about the actual text with all that introduction. Genesis chapter 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid, perhaps I shall obtain by her, or children by her." And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went in to Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Then Sarai said to Abram, "My wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me." So Abram said to Sarai, "Indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please." And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Now, the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from, and where are you going?" She said, "I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarai." The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand." Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for multitude." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren." And she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees." For she said, I have also here seen him who sees me. Therefore the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. Observe, it is between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. All right. Literally taking matters into their own hands, so to speak. All right. What do we hear about Sarai? Yeah, she was barren and had not given Abram any children. All right. So we're now, 75. So he's been in Canaan 10 years. So it's been 10 years since the Lord made the promise, right? And it actually will be another 13, 14 years until the Lord fulfills his promise. So from when the promise comes, 24 years, long past childbearing age. All right. Who was her maidservant? Her name is Hagar. And then Moses is careful to note twice here where Hagar is from. Her home is in Egypt, right? This is, of course, pointing forward to the Exodus, right? Well, actually, to the end of Genesis with Joseph, right? Chapter 45, 46 in there, right? This is a powerful nation at the time, right? And would later enslave Israel. Chris says, I'm amazed at the age of people then. Yes, but it's by this generation of Abram. We're talking only into the, we're not talking about the hundreds and hundreds and years that like it was before the flood, right? So, yes, longer than ours, but not that much longer, actually, at this point. Things change after the flood, apparently. All right. What did Sarai decide? Well, Abram should sleep with Hagar and bear children from her, right? All right. Now, this is significant because this sounds just like Abram in the last chapter, chapter 15. Remember, 15 verse 2, he said, you know, I have no heir and Eliezer of Damascus will be my heir, right? So she's not trusting God to fulfill his promise. Now, granted, he's been much delayed in fulfilling it, you know. Though he may delay, I'm trying to think how the psalmist says it. You know, he does keep his promises. Just not in our time necessarily, right? Requiring patience. Patient faith, really. Faith that is patient. So instead, she's going to help God out, right? Come alongside and help him keep his promise, right? Should Abram have agreed with Sarai? It says he listened to the voice or heeded the voice of Sarai. Of course not. It was his job, just like Adam, to rebuke his wife for her unbelief. Chris says his ways aren't our ways. That's absolutely true. His ways, that's quoting Jeremiah, right? Or is it Isaiah? It's Isaiah. His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts, our thoughts. It's correct. Abram at this point is 85, all right? And then, of course, the child will be, he'll be 86 when the child is born. How did Hagar behave when she got pregnant? The problem here is with Hagar, right? She despised Sarai and mocked her, right? Ha ha ha, look at you, right? So she's the voice of unbelief in Sarai's ear, right? Actually, the mirror of unbelief, if you like, mocking her for her infertility. Whom did Sarai blame? Verse 5, my wrong be upon you. It's Abram's fault. Well, actually, it is, right? He did what she told him to do. And then she calls upon God's judgment. What's Abram's response? Speaking of lack of courage here. Do whatever you want, right? Silently agreeing with her words, right? And then allowing her to mistreat her servant girl, Hagar, also his wife now, interestingly enough. And Hagar fled, right? As well she should from this abusive relationship. What's interesting then is that who finds Hagar? We've got the angel of the Lord, right? Finds, and where does he find her? By a spring of water in the wilderness on the way to Shur, right? Springs are significant, Old Testament and New Testament both, right? Well, ultimately, the springs of living water are the waters of baptism, right? By which the Lord delivers his church from sin, death, slavery, bondage, etc. By the way, who is the angel of the Lord? This is a name for the second person of the Holy Trinity, namely Jesus, right? What did the angel tell Hagar to do? Really remarkable, right? Return to your mistress, verse 9, and submit to yourself to her hand. Now, that's a hard thing to do. But then the Lord gives her a promise, right? Fear not, I will multiply your descendants so that they could not be counted. This is interesting because it's the same blessing that God had given to Abram. But of course, God had also said, I will bless those who bless you, right? So being attached to Abram, she receives Abram's blessing. What's the child to be named? Well, his name Ishmael, right? Which means God hears. Ishmael is described here, even before he is born, as a wild man. In the ESV, it's translated a wild donkey of a man, wild ass, whose hand would be against every man and every man's hand against him. So warfare, right? Yeah. What name does Hagar give to the angel of the Lord? the God, you are the God who sees, right? Who sees me. And what did she call the well? The well of one who sees me, right? Okay. What other stories involve a woman at a well? All right. That's an interesting question. You can probably think of a few. How about Genesis 24, right? That's where Abram sends out, he's well advanced in age, he sends out his servant under an oath to go and find a wife for Isaac from his country and from his family. That's in Ur of the Chaldeans, right? So he sends this servant out, and where does he go? To Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor, to a well of water, at a time when women go out to dry water. And then he says a prayer. And then what's interesting is Rebekah, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abram's brother, came out with a pitcher on her shoulder. All right. And then, of course, Rebekah is the one whom he returns with. Abram's brother was named Laban, right? And by the way, it doesn't necessarily mean like immediate relative brother. It just means of his family, right? All right. What would be another good example? This one may be a little less familiar to you, Exodus 2. All right. And that is when Moses flees to Midian after killing the Egyptian. All right. So that's definitely connected to this story because we have Hagar being an Egyptian. And then he comes and he sits in the land of Midian. He sits down by a well. And the priest of Midian had seven daughters. And they came and drew water. And they filled the troughs of water for their father's flock. Shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. When he comes to Reuel, his father, he describes what happened. And then the man, the Midianite priest, gives Zipporah, his daughter, to Moses. All right. And then, of course, he returns to Egypt later. And of course, you're probably definitely thinking of John chapter 4, which is the woman by the well, right? That woman that was in Samaria, a place called Sychar, that Jacob's well. Again, Jacob also is a story with a well, with Rebecca and or with Rachel and Leah, right? Okay, so significant stories of women by wells. Rebecca, Jesus and the Samaritan woman. The well of Midian, where Zipporah is given to Moses. Something about water, life, bearing children, etc., right? All goes together. Well, let's say that. Sarai questioned whether God would be able to give Abram a son through her womb. Like a modern American, she thought that God must help those who help themselves. Thank you, Benjamin Franklin. Thus, she set forth a solution that seemed responsible. Her slave Hagar would become the surrogate mother through whom God would keep his promise. That's her idea anyway. In view of his advanced age, Abram also thought this was a good solution and accepted his wife's word before the word of God, much like Adam when Eve dealt with the serpent. The Egyptian maidservant quickly began to abuse her mistress after she became pregnant, as Egypt would soon forget the benefits gained through Joseph and would enslave his family. Yet it is to this rejected non-Israelite that the angel of the Lord would first appear. In this wonderful promise that when the word was made flesh, his blood would be poured out for all nations, and streams of living water would flow forth for the healing of all nations. The God who sees looks upon the needs of all people and willingly comes forth from his father to take a bride, the church, and thus raise up a new nation of Abraham's sons. All right, so Christ is the God who sees and looks upon the needs of his people and is also the Son by whom all the nations are blessed and is also the source of living water received in baptism, right? So Chris says, the angel of the Lord told Hagar he would multiply her descendants. Wouldn't they be a bad people? For Ishmael would be a wild man. Yeah, that his hand would be against, so a warlike people, yeah. So we meet the Ishmaelites many more times in future stories. So keep an eye out for them. We'll see how they are. But it is worth noting that Jesus dies for them too. That's part of that confession of Paul in Galatians that, yes, she was the slave of the bond, or he was the son of the bondwoman and he was cast out, right? We'll see that story later on. But that doesn't mean Jesus didn't die for them. I mean, he is the prototypical Gentile, is he not? Right? So, Is he beyond redemption, I guess is the question. Of course not. His redemption will come by the heir of Abram, though, by way of Jesus, right? As everyone's redemption comes. Okay. Let's sing our hymn for the week. Let's sing the third stanza today. Behold a host. Sorry, I lost my place there. All right. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have given us your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary to redeem us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, taking all of the punishment that we deserved for our sin upon himself. He descended into hell, proclaiming his victory over the devil. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead, preaching the forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life in his name to the whole world. We give thanks to you for all that your Son has done for us. Help us to know and believe in Jesus. He has now ascended into heaven and sits at your right hand as our Savior and Lord. All the enemies of sin, death, and hell have been placed under his feet, and now he rules over all things for the sake of his church. Give us fervent faith in Jesus, and the blessed hope that he will come again to judge the living and the dead, giving the gift of eternal salvation to all who believe in him. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray, O Lord, grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that they may be cleansed from all their sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray this day for marriage and family, that husbands and wives, parents and children live in ordered harmony, according to the Word of God, for parents who must rear their children alone, for our communities and neighborhoods. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. We pray today in Thanksgiving with Marlene and Mardell, both of whom celebrate their birthday. We pray with Ashley, who celebrates her baptism. We pray for the households of our church, especially Jackie, Mickey, Jeannie, Maureen, Renee, and Joan. We pray in Thanksgiving for the gift of holy matrimony for AJ and Brenna. We pray for our catechumens, Christian, Wyatt, Aaliyah, Lydia, Charlie, Kaylee, and Kimberly. Pray for those ill receiving treatment or recovering, especially Marcella, Joe, Dale, Kelsey, Christopher, Dan, Brad, and Ron, Marla, Betty, Pat, and Heidi. Pray for our homebound, Bev, Willis, Ed, Mickey, Paul, and Pauline. Pray for the missions and mercy work of the church, especially this month with the Federowitz families. We also pray in intercession for the preservation of God's word and the increase of the church amongst us. For all this, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Good. All right, that's our congregation of prayer for today, Wednesday, November 2nd. It's good to have you with us here today. If you can join us in person, I urge you to do so this evening as we'll celebrate the Feast of All Saints. All right, a lovely feast day and one worthy of our recognition. If all goes as planned, actually, we'll sing a few more than one hymn this evening so we can get some of those All Saints hymns. And some of those we're going to pick up again in 2 weeks as we're coming into the end of the church here. We're going to recognize or have opportunity based off the text, actually, to pick up some of those All Saints hymns as well. All right. So make plans to join us this evening at 7 and again tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. for our congregation of prayer. We'll see you then. We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, Sherman Center in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org, that's stjohnrandomlake.org/support, and give today.